bow your heads with me, because without him, we can't do much, at least not in my experience. What I usually do on my own, I usually really fail miserably when I start. And unless he picks me up right now, you're not going to get anything, because it's him that has to be the focus. It's him that has to be the source. Him has to be the beginning. Him has to be the end. All right, I heard that. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about worship. And it's going to sound a little bit crazy, but I'm seeing myself standing when I was ordained at Pinecrest in the old chapel. And there was a desire in my heart to be ordained in the same room where my pastor, who had just passed away, was ordained. Well, as you know, ordinations are done in the main sanctuary now, which is the big room down at the bottom, with the fireplace and all the beautiful surroundings. And to make a long story short as I can, I was there for, I think, 3 days. And the Lord, the first couple of days, it was, you know, going through questions and meeting with different individuals. And I had already met with some, but there were some that needed to, you know, get a little more information. How many know the Lord's people are nosy? And that's not a bad thing now. I'm not trying to be critical of who they were and what they did. But there was questions, and obviously in my heart, holding before the Lord was this desire. Well, I got there on Thursday. The ordination was going to be on Saturday. And so the first meeting we had was in the main sanctuary downstairs. And I spent a little bit of time in the small chapel, but it was kind of occupied and usually allowed people to travel through and not very private. To make a long story again, you know, I kept holding this before the Lord. You know, Lord, this is very special, and it's different. And I know that you have a lot of people to take care of, but, you know, it would be nice if you could do this for me. Well, on Friday afternoon, we had a session that was for a teaching session, and there was an announcement. They said, we have a banquet ready for Saturday, but the weatherman said it's going to storm. So we can't have the banquet outside as expected. So now we're going to have the ordination in the old chapel, and the banquet will be held in the new chapel, because that's the only place where there was enough room for all the food. I don't know. Everybody else might have been disappointed, but there was a leap inside of me that was like, oh, wow! Spoiled rotten. And so I'm listening to others that are kind of, you know, not quite that happy about this new development. And of course, I've got a smile on my face, and I'm just, God answers prayer. But I'm thinking, my God, how selfish could I be? You know? But I'm trying to tell you something about this. It wasn't about selfishness. It was because God had orchestrated his plan differently than I. There was one lady that prophesied over me, and she said, you are a worshiper. Now, I knew what it was to worship, but I didn't know how you identified a worshiper. Is it the guy that's got his hands way up? Is it the person that is jumping around? Or no, it's none of those things. When you begin to worship, whether it's in a quiet atmosphere like we had this evening, or whether it's an orchestration of many instruments. And I've been to all. I've had a variety, been a part of many. The biggest secret about worship is you lose yourself. Self gets canceled out. And you're alone, one-to-one with Him. So you could be dancing, and there's nobody else in the room. Come on. You could be sitting on your sofa, listening to a piece of music, and being there alone, lost in His ecstasy. Right there with Him. And Peggy described it. That's where you are with Him. You're in that unity and that harmony where anything is possible through you. My brother says, I can't share this now because I lost it. You know? But you know what? I'm aware that there were times that things were lost. And the Lord said to me, they aren't lost. They're just slipped back a little bit. They're not lost. They seem lost. They're perceived lost. But they're not. It's just in that special place, waiting for you to go back. And I would be enticed to have you take a pencil and paper and write it down next time. Be prepared. And when you go back into that space, Lord, I want it, but I want it so I can record it. I want to enjoy it. I want to know you more. When you're in His presence, it cancels the me. All the selfishness part of me gets canceled out. Everything that I think is important gets what? Whitewashed. It's like God comes in with a spray paint and He erases all your headaches. And sometimes, at least for me, all the pain goes away in the body. Amen? But when you go back into the flesh, you say, oh my God, I forgot. Yeah, but that's okay. You know what? Your best bet when that happens is to go back in. If it's at all possible, don't let go. Go back in. He's still there. Amen? He hasn't gone away. He's still there. And so, I'm telling you now, our God is such a powerful, loving, compassionate Father. He wants to hold and cuddle you. And when you're all bent out of shape over all the circumstances about Thanksgiving in 2 days, how is this all going to work? Now, wait a minute. Is frustration part of the holiday season? Be honest. Yes, it is. Why? Because we've not entered in. We're still in the self department. When I'm in the self department, I hate to say it, but don't step on my toes. I might yell ouch and get off. But when I'm in the spirit, all these other things become secondary. So a worshiper is one that enjoys the presence of His truth because He is truth. He doesn't say, I will bring truth. He says, I am truth. Amen? He doesn't say, I'm going to give you truth. He's already given Himself. You say, well, I need salvation. No, you've got Him. Excuse me. He doesn't say, salvation will come to you. Does He? What does He say? He's, I am salvation. The Spirit of salvation is Jesus Himself. Amen? Excuse me for a moment. If I don't take a drink, we're going to be in trouble. How many know you can get cobwebs in your throat? He declares loud and clear that he is salvation. So, you can declare, I have salvation within me. That salvation will bring salvation and healing on every area because they work hand in hand. See, he doesn't say, I will bring you healing. He says, I am the healer. Amen? So when you're one-to-one with him in worship, what happens is the byproduct. Healing. It happens. How come when you step out of the anointing, does the pain come back? Because you're back into self. If you go back into him, and you stay long enough, if you stay long enough and you put the other busy things away, he will be able to manifest that healing in you because he is healing. Redemption. I need to be redeemed. He says, I am the Redeemer. And when he tells you and me that he's redeemed us from all of the old, it's already a true fact. Yes or no? How do I apply that when I'm in my selfish motivation? It won't work. Redemption is a byproduct of him being there. And you and I receiving it. I can remember we used to sing a song, the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, this goes a little deeper. Redemption is a part of who you are. Because when you're in Christ, that redemption is a byproduct of who you are. And it will continue working through you, and everything that you and I touch has an ability to be redeemed. How about the shoes of peace that God gave you there, young man? Is he not the Prince of Peace? So he says, I am your peace. If he's your peace, what are you doing get bent out of shape over nothing? Because again, it's because I'm in the one that's in the control room. The real self has not been canceled out. Self is still in operation. Self is still pushing buttons. How many have a few problems with self? Thank you. Welcome to the club. Okay? He says also, I am the way. So how do I get the answers? Go to the way. And again, he's all these things. And he says also, I am life, and life to the fullest. He doesn't say, I'm going to give you life. He says, I am life. If you, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will never die. And then he tells them, do you believe it? You know what? We have problems with unbelief. The Lord showed me some of this morning as I watched Pastor Benny Hinn, because he was on a tirade. It was a great place. I love it when he's on that flow and he's off into that wonderful place where he's not himself, it's the Holy Ghost having a party with him. And when I'm in his presence, the I am is really alive. When I'm in myself, I cancel out his presence. Get it? That's ugly, but it's truth. Okay? A number of years back, 93, I believe it was, Could have been 94, but I'm guessing. It might have been 94 at the beginning of the year. There's a major crisis that God had put me in. I didn't blame the devil at that time because I knew God had already told me it was going to be happening. But I was walking it out. And I went to visit my brother during the holidays. He was up in Canada. And, of course, he had a place down in Florida. And he was going to take some time off in the winter, he tells me. And he says, I'm going to drive down with the camper. Do you want to come? And I says, of course I want to come. But I got to talk to my pastor, see if I get some time off. And so to make a long story short, I cried out to the Lord that night after I got all this information in me and said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this because I got all these other things that I got to pay for. But if you want me to go, you'll supply the money. 2 days later, I get an envelope from a person that I did not expect to receive from. And there was a check for $1,000. And so I said, oh my God, Lord, now you've provided the way. Did he really provide the way or was he the way? He was the way, okay? So now I'm definitely thinking I've got a free ride all the way to Florida and back for about 10 days. And as I'm driving home from Canada, I've got about 5 hours on the road for something. The Holy Spirit says, I want you to drive down. I said, huh? When you get a free ride and you've got to drive down all by yourself? I mean, what logic is there in that? It doesn't make a cotton picking sense. You know, God, wait a minute. Satan, get away from me. All right? Be gone. That's exactly what I said. How many know when you're trying to go to sleep, the Holy Ghost is trying to get through to you? I'm trying to sleep. I'm tired. I'm home and I'm tired. I'm laying down and the Holy Spirit very gently says, Tim, I want you to drive down by yourself. I want you with me. Oh, man, the tears are rolling out of my eyes. Lord, okay. Not happy. Disappointed in which part of me? Selfishness was in there. I wanted a free ride. I wanted the company. I wanted to laugh. I wanted to have a good time because I was depressed. Okay, my wife and I were separated. And there was possibilities of a divorce. And I didn't want to live anymore for a while. I didn't like where I was. At all. But God was saying, I want you with me. Alone. Okay. So now I tell my brother, I'll meet you down there. He says, you're crazy. The Lord said, for sure, he wants me to be going down. I'm going to be ministering to some people in a certain city. I says, in fact, I'll probably be there before you, because obviously you drive down in a vehicle that size compared to the big camper that he has. So, make a long story short, I got there 2 days early. I stayed with these people, and the Holy Spirit had a party before he got there. But he was the way all the way down. He sustained me every step of the way. I prayed in the Spirit more than I had ever prayed in the Spirit because there was nobody to hinder. I sang in tongues halfway of the drive. That's 1,200 miles or whatever. But the bottom line is, there was no need to sleep. There was a joy in my heart that was just unbelievable. And I would have never tasted that with other people in the car. I could not have had the joy of the Lord in me to that degree with hindrances checking on me every step of the way. How many know people can hinder you? And I'm not picking on people. I'm just letting you know he wanted me by myself. Now, there were times he'd say, pull over. I'd pull over. He'd give me a message. He'd tell me, write it down. My pad and my pencil was right there. Every step of the way, listening for instructions. Listening to what to do and when to do it. He says, I'm your life, son. So if you get depressed, what is your life about? Is it all about you or is it all about me? So there was a transition in that trip. It was not all about me anymore. It was whatever you want, Lord. If you want me alone, I'll be alone. I made a declaration on that trip. With or without a divorce, I'm going to be happy. With or without a wife, I'm going to be happy. With or without a family, I'm going to be happy. With or without what I want, I'm going to be happy. And I declared that I would survive whatever test he wanted. I apologized to him for being so selfish on that trip. I apologized to him for having an agenda as to how I was to go forward in my life. Because I was ruining our relationship by being so selfish. When I drove home, I can remember coming into Pennsylvania. I can't tell you how many hours I had been driving. Don't remember. He told me to stop at a rest stop. There was a little bit of snow falling. And he said, you can rest now. So I put the seat back a little bit. I didn't go to sleep, but I can remember hearing the little flakes falling on the car. You know how you can hear them because it was totally quiet. There was a place of rest that lasted, I can't really tell you, maybe an hour and a half, because by that time the car got cold. And when I woke up, I was a little shivery, but I was fully alert, fully alive. And I knew he had kept me. Pulled out of that rest stop. Began to rejoice and praise him again. And drove the rest of the way home. Why would he do this? All my relatives said, you're nuts. I said, well, in John chapter 7, Jesus' brothers want him to go to the feast with him. If you want to show off, why don't you just come with us, you know? After all, you should know. Everybody wants to know. You've got miracles following you. You're so special. He says, no, my time is not yet. And then the scripture says, he went off alone at a time designated by God. And he obeyed. Father, give them the gift of obedience. Father, give them the hunger to see your mind and to see your play in their lives come alive inside of them. So they're going to be changed a little bit at a time, just like I was. And still being changed. And Lord, I remind you, they need to know who the truth is, fully alive in them. They need to know salvation is fully alive in them. They need to know the healer is fully alive in them. They need to know the Redeemer is fully alive in them. And the Prince of Peace is resident within. And the way of life is Him. The way of life. Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, make this real for me. all of God's people said, I tricked you into it.